All right, well, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and to gather with your people and hear from you, God, from your word. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts today and change us. And Lord, help us to recognize that you are the one that gives us that rest that the world cannot give. You give us the peace and that joy that cannot be found in any other place, any other person but you. So Lord, help us come to you and to recognize who you are. Father, help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the room today, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray and in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's with those words that Matthew transitions this next part of Jesus's ministry. Jesus tells us that if any of you are weary and heavy laden and you're burdened down, come to me and I'm going to give you rest. And I don't know how many of you all out there feel weary and heavy laden and burdened down, but the good news is that you can come to Jesus and you can find rest in him, because what he's going to teach us and show us today is that he is the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. He is that Sabbath rest. He is the one who gives us the peace and the joy and the comfort that cannot be gained in any other way, but it comes through him. And so in Matthew chapter 12, we have this encounter with Jesus and his disciples, and they're walking on a Sabbath day. And we pick up Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" All right, here we go. Here's the Pharisees. Man, they are the folks who just pride themselves in being righteous. They pride themselves in being holy. They love to be seen on the street corners praying. They love to give their gifts and offerings in such a way that people notice. And I mean, they're just these holy folks, and they pride themselves on that. And they wanted to make sure that the Sabbath was protected. Now, granted, I'd give them some credit to this, that was an important law. It's in one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So that was something that you do want to make sure that you keep holy, because in fact, when the Israelites did not keep the Sabbath day holy, they were punished by God. And part of their exile was because they were not honoring the Sabbath day. That was one of the reasons. And so God had punished them until that Sabbath was over, and they, in the wanderings, completed that time and then were restored. So maybe they didn't want that to happen again. I'll give them that. But what they did was, instead of just obeying the law of God in his written word, they began having their own oral traditions or their oral law. And they would begin making laws to make sure that they didn't break the law that would break the law that would break the law of God. So they built a fence to keep people out of the fence of the yard, and they built a fence around a fence around a fence around a fence, and they just law, regulation after regulation, rule after rule, kind of like our government. You know, just more rules, more rules, more laws, more restrictions, more this. And they kept making more and more and more rules and laws that it became so burdensome. So in order to protect the Sabbath, I'll just give you three quick examples. They would make up their own laws because see what they were concerned about. They accused Jesus of breaking the law. Well, he wasn't breaking their law. He was breaking their law, not God's law. He's breaking the tradition. So give you some examples. The law said that one was not to travel on the Sabbath. Okay? But what constitutes traveling? So they had to make up a rule. They come up with this idea of a Sabbath day's journey. So you can't walk further than 1,000 yards. Now, if you tied a rope across the end of the street, then the whole street technically became one dwelling place. In that case, a person could walk 1,000 yards beyond the rope. Or if you deposited some food at a given place on Friday night, because Sabbath was from Friday night to Saturday night, the next day you could walk to it, eat that meal, thus establishing a new place of home, and then walk another 1,000 yards. The law forbade the carrying of a load. Well, what's a load? Well, was a piece of clothing a load? So if you carried a piece of clothing, that was considered carrying a load. But if you wore the clothing, it wasn't. So if you wanted to take a shirt from one side of the room to the other, then all you'd have to do is put the shirt on, walk across the room, and then take it off, and it wouldn't be carrying a load. But if you actually carried the shirt to the other side of the house, it would be carrying a load. Do you see how crazy this is getting? Here's another one. The law said, you shall not work on the Sabbath day. Well, they had this law. This is the oral. This is not Bible. This is their oral law. That if a man spit in the dirt, it was considered work because it created a furrow, and that was plowing. But if it landed on a rock, no work. And so it was getting crazy. They would make law upon law and rule upon rule, and they would just make all these restrictions and regulations. And for the majority of the people, they said, well, I can't do it. I can't live this. I mean, like burden after burden. You got to make the laws even tighter and narrow and put their own law in it. And so when Jesus says, man, is anyone weary? I mean, these folks, they just want to know God, but they can't know God because they got the Pharisees restricting everything. And they're, are you heavy laden? Come to me. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, he tells them. And so when the Pharisees see the disciples picking the grain, they're like, oh, they're working on the Sabbath. They're doing what is not lawful. Because they plucked, they reaped. When they would grind the wheat in their hand to separate the chaff from the grains, that was considered threshing. And when they blew it away, that was winnowing. So they were working. Weren't worried about that they were hungry. They were breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus then says, have you not read? I love it. Jesus says this a lot to the Pharisees. Have you not read? Now, he knows that they have actually read the Bible. They do know their Bible, but the thing is they had their Bible and they had their oral law that they followed even more closely than the Bible. And he said, do you not understand? Do you not get it? Do you miss the meaning that big? Are you out in left field that far? He says, have you not read that when David was hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those of him, but for the priest alone? Have you not read that when David, who was anointed king, but yet Saul was still king, and Saul wanted to kill David, and David was on the run, and David had some followers, he had some guys, and they would hide out in caves because Saul was trying to kill David, and they became hungry, and he came to the priest, and he's like, man, you got anything to eat? And the only thing that he had was the 12 loaves of bread that represented the 12 tribes of Israel that was supposed to be holy and was not supposed to be given, but because they were hungry, and because the priest recognized that it was the king, he gave him the bread, that the mercy and the was more important than that restricted law. Have you not read about that when David ate that bread? Or look at verse 5. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? I mean, have you not read that the priest, they don't get the Sabbath day off? They still got to work. You know, they're still ministering in the temple. They're still doing things, but they're not breaking the law. Have you not read that? Now here's the key, and this is here's the message. Here is the title of today's message: is to recognize His greatness. Now look at what he says in verse 6. But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. Now, I want to pause right there just for a moment. When Jesus says this, he is making a profound statement. He says, but here's what I want you to know, Pharisees. Something greater than the temple is right here, right in your midst. You're not seeing it. You're missing it. You don't recognize it. But the great one, the holy one, is right here and you don't see it. And my prayer to me, my prayer for you, my prayer for all of us is that we do not miss the greatness of Jesus over our man-made rules. Amen. That we don't, we like, I don't know why we try to complicate things and make things harder, but we do. And we just need to come to Jesus and see him, because what they worshiped was the temple. They loved the temple. I mean, that was where that's where the action happened. That's where the sacrifices were made. That's where the Holy of Holies was at. That's where the presence of God was supposed to be. But what they didn't realize is that the very presence of God in bodily form stood among them in the grain fields, and there was more God in the grain fields than they were in the temple. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent in human flesh, and the very God in flesh, the fullness of the deity in bodily form, stood right there among them, and they're so upset that they're picking grain on the Sabbath that they miss the greatness of Jesus. Guys, fathers, we can't miss the greatness of Jesus. We must realize that he is in our midst, and that we don't put anything or anyone in place of him, that he is the great one. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than Jonah. He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than David. It's about Christ. Fathers, happy Father's Day. Do you recognize the greatness of Jesus in your marriage? Do you recognize the greatness of Jesus? Do we, and I'm preaching to me a lot today, okay? Do we love our wife like Christ loved the church, and we're willing to give our lives for her? It's high demand, isn't it? We can't love our wives the way we ought to if we don't recognize the greatness of Jesus the way we should. Do we parent recognizing the greatness of Jesus? Do we point our children to the greatness of Jesus? Are we modeling for our kids what it means to be a man of God? Men, are you modeling for your son, for your daughter, what it means to be a man of God? Are you showing them how to handle pressure? Are you showing them how to handle adversity? Are you showing them how to succeed? Are you showing them how to win and win with honor? Are you showing them how to take defeats and make them victories? Are you showing them what it means to be a man who recognizes the greatness of Jesus? Are you showing them how to pray? Are you teaching them to pray? You know how that happens, don't you? You actually have to pray. And you've got to pray with your kids, for your kids. Are you praying for your spouse the way you should? Do you recognize the greatness of Jesus when you go to your workplace? Huh? Are you a man who can come in at your workplace and be that Christian man that represents Christ even at the office? Do you work with integrity? Do you work hard? Do you work like as if Jesus were your boss? Do you recognize the greatness of him? Are you able to witness and testify and share and invite and not be ashamed that you are a man of God? Do you stand for truth, righteousness? Are you honest in your dealings? We can only do that by recognizing his greatness. When we go out and we just are out in everyday life, when we're coaching our little leagues and our ball teams, and are we recognizing the greatness of Jesus in those moments and helping point those kids to someone greater than ourselves? When we go to Walmart and we go to Circle K or we go to Kroger and that person that's taking your money, that's punching in all the stuff, how are you allowing your faith to move in those moments? Have you ever asked that cashier, hey, is there any way I can pray for you? How's your day going? Are you just so upset that they got your order wrong that you just have to go off and tell everybody about it on your Facebook page? Because what you don't know is what that person might be going through. Have you ever taken time to ask someone, how you doing? Can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can pray for you about? Do you recognize the greatness of Jesus in those moments? Because here, why are the Pharisees so ticked off? Why did they miss it? Why did they miss the greatness of Jesus? And here's my thought. Here's why I think they missed it. It's because they were worried about their own greatness rather than the greatness of Jesus. They were worried too much about them looking good, about them being right, about them being holy, about them being seen, and they were more worried about their own greatness than the very greatness of Jesus that was right before them. Because when two things try to compete for greatness, can both be on the top. There's not two thrones, there's only one throne. And we'll either sit on it and we'll say, we're the great one and it's all about me and what I think and what I do and how I live, or Jesus is on the throne. He must be first place. Not me, but him. The true man of God humbles himself at the foot of the cross and recognizes the greatness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we live for his glory, not ours. Pharisees couldn't do that. Pharisees could not do that. Are you a man who can do that? Because here's what I believe. The man who can recognize the greatness of Jesus above his own will be a man God will greatly use. A man who will recognize the greatness of Jesus above his own will be a man that God will greatly use. We got to recognize his greatness. Don't miss it. It's about him. He's greater than the temple. It's him. He moves. And he says, if you had known this, if you had realized who is in front of you, you would know what it means when I said, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the innocent. You would have known, you would have recognized who was among you and that the mercy of God triumphs. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He goes, you want to talk about Sabbath? I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I created the Sabbath. Right? In the beginning, God said, let there be. Boom, it was. Jesus was the one who created the world. He is Lord over the Sabbath. And they missed it. Well, he didn't let a bad encounter keep him from going to church. Aren't you glad of that? How many of y'all ever had bad encounters in the mornings and you still went to church anyway? Huh? I mean, some of you might have had some today, right? Get in the car! Get in the car! I don't care. Just get in the car! Quit hitting your brother! Quit Jesus! I don't care! We're going to worship Jesus! And you're fighting the whole way in there and you walk through the door just like, how you doing? Blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Glory. So we got verse 10 and verse 9. So departing from there, he went into their synagogue. So he goes to church, which is a good, I always thought that was interesting. You know, Jesus went to church. And you know, these folks who say, well, I don't need to go to church. Wow, then you must be great, you know, because Jesus went to church. You don't need to go to church, then you must be special. Anyway, I digress. Here we go. And there was a man there whose hand was withered. Now, this is diabolical, really. And here's what happens when you are so self-absorbed into yourself and that you're about your own glory and not the glory of God, it'll make you use people rather than bless people. Because here's what happens. They set this man up. They don't care about this guy. This guy's got a withered hand. And they're trying to trap Jesus. So there's a man who had a withered hand, and they question Jesus, asking him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now think about this. They're more worried about their Sabbath keeping than they are about a man who has a withered hand. We do stuff like that all the time in church, don't we? We worry so much more about the goofiest things. And I mean, churches can split and fight and gripe and cuss and curse. Yeah, they can curse. Over the most dumb things. And not worry about the hundreds of people in the community that are dying and will split hell wide open if they don't know Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So here we go. Is it lawful to heal? And he said to them, well, what man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He says, some of you all, y'all got sheep. Some of you got sheep. If your sheep fell in a pit, in a hole, and it couldn't get out, you would, on the Sabbath day, get that and rescue that sheep. And you wouldn't think a thing about it. And you're asking me, is it lawful to heal a man on the Sabbath? You're more worried about a sheep than a human? Can you believe that there were people in Jesus' day who were more worried about an animal than a human? Aren't you glad we don't live in a world like that anymore? Huh? I mean, I hate it about the gorilla. I really do. That was a bad deal for the gorilla. I hate it for him. But guess what? The boy, the human, is more important than the gorilla. I'm sorry, okay? But we've got people in our culture today, I mean, we're more worried about the whale, save the whale, save the whatever an animal it might be, but yet we will slaughter millions of babies in a mother's womb and fight for the rights for the woman to do it. We're messed up. There's something wrong. If your political persuasion cares more for an animal than a human, that's not of God. That's not of God. And we have this problem that still exists called missing the greatness of Jesus and being willing to go after what he says to go after. He says, people matter. People matter. That person you work with, they matter. That person you live next to, they matter. The people that you see on a daily basis, they matter. Those around that we live that do not know Jesus, their soul is like a withered hand. And they're hopeless. And if they don't get introduced to a man of God or a woman of God who cares more about the things of God than their own self, then we lose a county. We lose a state. We lose a nation. When we start living for our own glory and miss out on his glory, then we get sheep focused and not salvation focused. And so Jesus tells the guy, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and what happened to it? It was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. They missed it. They missed it. They should have been the very ones rejoicing that the Messiah had come. They should have been the ones to rejoice. I tell you, I don't know about you, but if somebody gets healed here on a Sunday morning, I'm going to be shouting. Somebody come up with a withered hand and it gets stretched out and it's like, I'll be, woo! I won't be going, well, now, how in the wild world? I mean, here they are all ticked off. They're wanting to kill. Why? Here's why. Here's why they're more worried about their greatness than his greatness. And every time we do that, every time that we don't recognize his greatness and we put ourselves above him, we will miss it. We'll get off focus and we'll start living our life in a way that's not pleasing to God. Rather, it'll be in opposition to God. When we put our greatness above his, every time, that will happen. Fathers, recognize his greatness. Mothers, recognize his greatness. Young folks, recognize his greatness. Singles out there, recognize his greatness. In all things, he gets first place. And every person who does not know Jesus has not the ability to heal themselves. Just like this man that had the withered hand, he had not the ability to heal himself. When Jesus said, stretch out your hand. I mean, what kind of request is that? If he could have stretched out his hand, he would have done that a long time ago, wouldn't he? But there's something different when Jesus says it than when I say it. For when Jesus says, stretch out your hand, power this morning, if your soul is withered, you don't know Jesus, you don't know him, you've never experienced salvation in him, today he says, stretch out your hand. He says, come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. Come to me. Don't miss it. Come to me. He says, stretch out your hand and you come and you say, Jesus, forgive me. Guess what? You get a new life. Salvation. You can't do it. Only he can. When he calls, you step into it. Let's pray. Father, this morning, you are so good to us, Lord. And I pray that we don't miss who you are. I pray that we don't allow our own desire for greatness to eclipse your greatness. That we realize, Lord, that you're the King, and we're here to honor and lift you up, live for you. Reach out to those who are hurting and in need. Be a blessing to those around us. To impart your good name and your good news to others. Help us to have the passion for the things that you're passionate about. Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today you'd tell them to stretch out their hand and they would come and receive eternal life through Jesus. Have your way and move among us, Lord. Move in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing and let's respond this morning. You want to come and pray? Let's come and pray. You need to do business with God? Come and do business with God this morning right here. We have places to pray. Come.